Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Marco Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack
But we are the fastest growing family talk show in all of the universe right here and right now. As we say, to put this world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put our family and all families in order. But to put our families in order, we must first cultivate and succeed in our personal life. That is why we are here, and I am here helping you succeed in all ways possible. Now, something registered in my deep cortex, in the recesses of the brain, this morning, that has made me think about it all day long. That is, and I tweeted this earlier, so hopefully you are following me on Twitter and keeping track of this, but if you are not, please go and do that right now at twitter.com/JackHatfield. And of course, friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/TheJackHatfield, and Fix the Family. You can also follow Fix the Family on Twitter. Look forward to doing so. Love him. We're going to have a tweet show soon, too. Anyway, back to the thought processes that has been bugging my brain all day. And that is, it's hard work. When you are called a hard worker, is that a success trait that someone admires and wants to be like? Or is it looked upon as someone looking at you going, I don't think I want to work that hard. He doesn't seem to be reaping any benefit from his hard work. Now, there's a period where hard work is necessary. Like, there have been humongous projects that I have designed and built, and the hard work was completely necessary until the finish, but then the reward afterwards was great. But to watch someone toil and struggle and work super hard every day while barely scraping by, is that a trait you would like to have? Is that a success trait that you would be interested in mimicking? I don't think so. Anyway, fuck me. Put a thought in my head going, you know, you have these people that I talk to on a daily basis. And they say things like, wow, I'm working really hard just trying to get customers in the door, or trying to make another dollar, or trying to figure out a way to do this and that, do that. I mean, it's just struggling. And you have to wonder if someone's looking at you working very, very hard, do they deem you a success? Yes, after everyone dies, people like to say, well, he was a hard worker. Worked tirelessly in the mill, or worked tirelessly in the mine, or worked tirelessly at his job, or worked, you know, she worked tirelessly at the hospital. Whatever way you want to say it, the hard workers of the world we look at with respect, but we don't look to them for success advice, really. You don't look to them to show you the happy way. Don't understand, I'm working tail off, but yet I'm no closer to my goal. So, think about that for a second. You're a hard worker, so you're listening to this show, and you're very hard working, you've been working all day, you finally kick back, listening to the greatest show on earth. Sipping your fantastic beverage. And you're going, now I'm going to sit back and relax. Oh. Relax with you. On the internet radio. Soon to be, possibly, terrestrial radio. But, don't be premature about things. So think about it. You walk into a store and you see the owner frantically working his tail off and frantic, and he's just not in a good mood and doesn't give the best customer service, and he just doesn't appear to be modicumly happy, and that may be just that day. When you walk in after a month and he's the same way, you walk in after a couple months, he's the same way, you walk in every, you know, a year, you've been in there every month for a year, every week for a year, and he's the exact same way, and or this guy's owned this place in this town for 15 years, and every day it's just toil, and nothing to show for it other than the business is still open. Now, yes, there are some business owners that are quietly hoarding away their money. Obviously not reaping any magical, happy benefit from it that you can see, but they may have a happy benefit that you can't see. But if someone was really working hard, you have the hardest worker in a sawmill. I'm just giving out a place I know has to be very, very hard work. So you're looking at these people in the sawmill, and they go there and they cut wood or whatever sawmills do, and they put the wood up and have it get cut, and sawdust goes everywhere. And then they clean up that sawdust, put it over in another barrel, and then they go back and cut more wood, clean up more sawdust, put that sawdust in another barrel, so forth and so on. Over and over and over again. Now, yes, we need people to do jobs like that, and yes, they do it well. Shouldn't they be asked to do grow, to do better and bigger things? Because isn't that the goal? Now, I have to tell you, I've met a few people that do the same thing every day, but that's it. That's all they want to do. They're happy as a lark. Not worried about it at all. Just let it all roll. Let it all roll. The exact same way. Roll, roll, roll. The exact same way. They're fine with that. And that's fine. That's the case. But what I'm saying is, if you know someone that's complaining of life, or complaining about working so hard and can't make it, you know, barely making it, or every week is the exact same thing, every month the exact same way, of hoping that you'll be, you know, he or she will be okay at the end of the month. But they work hard, and they work hard all their life, and life just passes them by, because they keep thinking they're going to reach that pinnacle, and they never even get up halfway up the mountain. Is that a success trait? Hard working? Is that really? I think we need to clarify. I think we need to say hardworking with reward at the end. You know the reward and you see it. The toil, toil, no reward would be the part that is not fun. That is not the what we need or what we look to in a person to show us the way. When you think about it like that, when you look at your own life, and you say, you know, if I were to watch someone toil all their life, never get up that hill, as stated by the Jeffersons, the success and the respect and the thrill and the reason you would like someone is because they worked too hard and made a goal, made that success goal, and now they're not working that. Now I look back at my own decisions where I, you know, quit everything, sat next to my daughter, quit everything, sat next to my mother, and the toil beforehand, getting to a success point, then I made the conscious decision to stop it. Then toil again, got to another success point, made a conscious decision to stop it, and now toiling again. It's the way that life rolled towards me. And how I had to adapt to the situation at hand. And how I chose to adapt to the situation at hand. But I sit here and I look and I go, one of the traits of people that I see is that they've worked hard for the goal and made the goal. But if they're working hard, I see no goal. But yet, and they complain about their personal economy, remember? There's no national economy, there's only personal economy. You wouldn't be worried about the national economy, except for, of course, for empathy for others, your friends. If your personal economy was just fine, which is why you listen to the show, which is why we try to fix the family, fix America, because if we can fix the family, this world will turn back to right. And that is the way of success, the way of getting as many people as we possibly can to that goal, to that pinnacle, to that hard work reward. So, hard work or hard working really doesn't seem to be a trait of someone you would want to follow. It's not someone you would look up to as a success. Isn't that weird to think? And I see it daily. See it daily in the amount of entrepreneurs I'm trying to help. A lot of them working hard. And that's it. Several of them I've had conversations with, ask them what they're working for. Don't you want to be large? And I've actually had the answer, no, I don't want to be that large. That would be a lot of headaches. And I go, so you have absolutely no headaches right now. He goes, no, we got a lot. Okay. Well, the headache of worrying about where, like, at your level right now, you're worried about the amount of screws in the job that you're about to do and make sure that the number of screws and tools are correct. But if you grew to a certain point where you had a fleet of people doing what you're doing now, you would be worried about the trucks and tools on the trucks. Different set of worries. So the worries wouldn't stop. Yes, you'd have worries, but they would change in scope and size and difference. But if you look at it, it's the same amount. It's the same amount. I got to worry about 10 screws on this job, or I got to worry about 10 trucks. Same amount, just different volume. But I've actually had entrepreneurs in nothing. I've also had conversations with entrepreneurs after sitting there and going, what do you want to do with this and this and this and your logo and business? And they go, you know what? I haven't thought about it. Some of them, thank me. Does that mean they found their focus in life and switched away from what they were doing? Or did they go, you know what, I'm not going to go talk to that guy because he's not asking, doing what I asked him to do? These kind of questions. So again, hard working and hard worker. A lot of people say stuff like, my daddy was a hard worker. We were poor. My daddy had to work two jobs just to make ends meet. Is that something you would like to continue?
That is not me choking. That is someone in the studio that looks a lot like a dog. If you can hear it, I don't know if you can even hear it. Think about that for 1 second. You have people that go, we grew up poor. My daddy worked 2-3 jobs at a time, rarely saw him. And it's made me who I am today. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm working hard. You're working hard. Maybe daddy just didn't know that he should be working toward a different goal. Maybe daddy didn't ever get any help. Maybe daddy was never shown the way. Maybe daddy never heard this show. Of course he did. Because if you're saying my daddy, this show's been on the air for over a year, Daddy was probably working back in the 60s and 70s. So working smarter, or challenging yourself every day to try to get to the goal and get to the reward where you're successful and your mind can really start working on bigger solutions. Grasp this. One of my good friends, well, I say good friends, him and I have helped push each other's books out, and that's Robin Sharma. He actually has discussed recently on how some of the most successful people work the least because they understand the importance of time off and they get their best ideas in time off. Now, I have to say a caveat to that. I have had some of my best ideas in time off, and I can have best ideas of only just going to bed. And having the brains kind of slow down. But get this. It's taking that idea, Mr. Sharma, and implementing that idea after your time, your downtime has ended. There's a key. There's a big key. Because a lot of people have what I have run into many times, and that is absolutely no help. No assistance whatsoever. So you have this great idea, you don't have anybody to tell. You sit there and you go, well, I got to implement this. And you look at how it's got to be implemented, and there's a lot of steps. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 27, 32 all seem very, very easy, but there's also step 6, 14, 57, 102, and 99. Those are pretty difficult. So you go, wow. So you just toil, toil, toil. So what are we really doing? Now, while I agree with my buddy Robin that, yes, the most successful people work the least, there was a period that every one of those successful people did do some toil, toil, toil. But they also saw what they were working towards. And I can also tell you, just like me, I've toiled, toiled, toiled on something, and it absolutely failed. Every one of those successful people, I promise you, have done the same thing. So at what point does the hard worker, the unsuccessful hard worker, get gazed upon as someone you would look up to, and that is when they stop working so dad blame hard. So hard working is really not a success trait. It's a stepping stone. And it's not something I think I once said in a eulogy. Because that means you weren't there yet. Those are the eulogies for the ones that you feel bad for. He was a hard worker. What do you think about this? subject has really got grated my day today. It's really been on my mind a lot. I don't cut grass. When I was young, couldn't even drive. Well, no, one of us could drive. Wait a minute, hang on. We had to drive. No, we did drive. Yeah, I could drive. During the day, 15, I guess. Put a lawnmower in the back of a Dodge Charger, and I would drive to people's houses. Put two lawnmowers in the back of a Dodge Charger. Me and my buddy would drive to people's houses and ask them if we can mow their lawn. 4X. Usually $20. I believe it was $20 back then. For a yard, I mean, go out and look at your yard. How much does it cost to mow it now? $70, $80, $90, $100. We did it for 20. Sometimes 10, I think, if it was really tiny. Or if we could get done in, basically we looked at it in 30 minutes or less. We could really work the money if we could get $10 or $20 out of a 30 minute or less job. And then one time I got a big gig because I kept saying, you know what, if I can mow two lawns, 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes each for $20 a piece, that's $40 an hour. Well, we need to work. So me and this gentleman, we had a very big, big plan. And that was, why do we want to mow the lawns that other teenagers come around and mow? We want to mow the lawns that teenagers don't go talk to. So we would go to these big, humongous houses, going in these gates, driving, you know, acres down to try to find the house. Finally get to the door, knock on that person's door and go, you want us to mow your lawn? They go, you know how big my yard is? Yes, sir. We saw every bit of it. How much will it be? Well, it'll be $125. Well, yeah, go right ahead. And of course, they were stunned that they normally probably get it cut for like $900. And we're out there pushing. One time I got the yard across from my parents' house. I believe it's probably four acres or so. And it had grown up. They kind of had some issues with their health, and it had grown up to probably half of my height. So I couldn't ride the lawnmower. I was going to ride a lawnmower on there and cut it for $100. Now I figured riding is easy, which is what they do today, which is hilarious. It costs more today to ride the lawnmower than it used to be for me pushing the lawnmower. Stunning. Anyway, so I was going to ride this lawnmower, but by the time the person got to me, they had some health issues. They finally called me up and go, can you cut my grass? And of course, I'm a man of my word, $100. Look out. You know, the grass is up to half of me. You take a riding lawnmower, you go, done. Riding lawnmower says, no. So I had to grab the push mower and hold it up and cut phase one of the yard, then push mower to cut phase two of the yard, then finally finish it with the ride. It took 3 days to cut that yard for that $100. I was a hard worker. I was working my tail off. There was a reward at the end. There was $100. But was 3 days worth of work? But yes, of course. I kept to my word. I could have said, well, it's grown up now. It's going to take 3 days, $300. Yes. But they were in a bind. I'm helpful. It's been one of my issues all of my life is I help no matter what. Even to this day, I'll help an entrepreneur or a buddy coming in. Not a buddy, a friend coming. Not a friend. A person that I just met who's trying to make a difference. So anyway, now now I've had a stream of rain here that has caused my grass to grow very high, and we have went through several entities of people who say they want to cut grass, but then they just don't call back, and they don't cut grass. Anyway, the point is I don't cut the grass because I don't feel that working that hard on that grass, as it is not my goal, is going to make a hill of beans if I don't do it, or vice versa. Now, some people get a thrill out of going out and cutting the grass. I don't know why. Some people say it, I don't know, it's fun or it's their day, or, you know, a lot of husbands go out and cut the grass because they just want to leave the house. Which is why we have to fix the family. But you think about it, not everybody, pretty much everybody you talk to, when they have to cut a grass, they go, it's a grass cutting day. I can't go have fun with you people. It's grass cutting day. What? That's right. When I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to go, you know what? I'm so happy I kept my grass cut on grass cutting day. I'm not saying let your yard go crazy while you go out and party. Well, I am saying that if the party comes, you know, to your door and grabs you and pulls you away, yes. But what I'm saying is look at every facet of your life. People, I have seen, this is another amazing thing, to toil. I have seen someone leave a store to drive 25 miles to the other store for $1.25. Savings. I have seen someone leave a store to drive 11 miles to another store because their legal-sized brown manila envelope was 15 cents cheaper. And then bring that envelope back to mail it to the store they just didn't buy the envelope at. Someone please tell me how that toil had a reward. Would I look to that person as a success savings genius? Would I look to that person and go, you know what? He knew where the envelope was cheaper and he went and got it. No, you're an idiot. You do not know the value of your own time. And you do not know the value of all the other intangibles of going to save that 15 cent. It's not like you went to buy a car or you went to buy a house and the guy goes, that car's going to be $26,000. Well, wait a minute. That dealership 11 miles down the road is $20,000. That's $6,000. That's worth getting in the car to go do. 15 cent envelope? But I can hear you, some of you right now are saying, but it's the principle. Why would that place charge 15 more cent? Well, that place might not be the big mega chain. And everyone every day loads and talks about and complains about the big box stores. Right? But then they go to them. It's crazy. You have all this push now. Buy local. Help your entrepreneur. La, 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 la. And then people come in and go, you're going to charge me 15 more cents for this envelope than Office Depot? So you look at that person, you go, you are not looked upon as the wizened miser of savings. No, you're looked upon as a blooming idiot. So the person that then goes and toils all day and barely still makes the ends meet after a month or 2 months and 3 months and 4 months. Now, again, if they tell you that when I get done with this, I will be a billionaire, that is worth toiling for. But when they tell you, when I get done with this, I'll go home and then I'll get to come do it again tomorrow. Then I'm going to go home. Then I'm going to get to come do it again tomorrow. Toil. Toil. Do you want to be that successful person? Do you look at that person and go, look at this hard worker? That's the success model I want to model my life after. No, you go, oh my God. You, sir, are in a rut. Rut. He did not say that. How many people read People magazine, Globe magazine? I don't know the rest of these names of these magazines. I know them only by the grocery stores. Give me some more Hollywood magazine. Us. Mademoiselle. Is that one?
First of all, 11 miles away. Wear and tear on the car. Gas. Time. How much? What, just think about your hourly. Okay. I'm an old lady. I don't work. Well, do you get paid anything? Do you have to buy gas? Does your car run on nothing? Doesn't matter, the personal economy is doing good. If you're one of the ones in the People magazine on the beach, do you think they're going, oh, everyone's hurting us? Go on the beach. alcoholic on the night. That's exactly what they're going to deploy for you, because the economy is bad. Now, yes, I'm making light of this, but you grasp what I'm trying to say. Their personal economy is not bad. They don't give a flying rat that the economy is bad. They're going to do their thing because why? They've already done their hard work towards the goal. And the goal makes them And the reason that you watch them in the People magazine is because they've reached that success, not because they're a hard worker. Toil. Every time I say that, I want to be like a witch. Rhyme, a nursery rhyme, or maybe a Bugs Bunny. Witch Hazel. Anyone remember that? Our Saturday mornings are now picking up by the Looney Tunes. I've got these three DVD sets, well, the three DVD compilations. I have three compilations, multiple DVDs, and Looney Tunes. Anyway. My daughter, 6 years old, knows who Bugs Bunny on the floor. Possessor, Tweety. I got to pause on that one. Daffy, love Daffy. You wake up, is it Bugs Bunny then? Bugs Bunny was the second most adored character in a poll in 19-something, 70-something, or 80-something. Right behind Abe Lincoln, it went Abe and Bugs Bunny. He had the number one show in the world Saturday morning. What happened?
Why is there no more
Bugs? What the heck is on Saturday morning TV now?
Wait a minute.
My subject, I've spent my whole first hour on this. Because it has bugged, I swear it has bugged me since 1:38 last night, I believe. It might have been 2:38. It was in the morning, woke up, had to urinate, laid back down and went, hard work is not a success thing. And then I elaborated on it all day. And then, guess what happened to my day? I worked my tail off. I toiled. Yep. Toiled. And guess what that did to my topic of conversation? It made me sit there and go, no. No, I don't like it. So the combination of that and this and that and this and that and that and this. Kind of has made me sit here to try to prove a point to you, and that's the reason you need to be successful. So that you can fix yourself, you can cultivate and nurture your ideal section of your brain during the, as Robin Sharma puts it, vacation time, downtime. You cultivate the ideas and the wondrous moments of your brain during the moments when you're not toiling. Because when you're toiling, guess what you're thinking about?
Toiling.
Sawmill. Go back to that example. Thinking about putting the log up. It's like a dog pushing a ball. 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 Squirrel! pushing the ball, pushing the ball, pushing the ball, pushing the ball. You don't get time. The dog never gets time to go, you know what? I'm hungry. Maybe I've never seen that thing in the yard. Or maybe if I go over there, I smell something different. You don't get those thoughts because you're constantly toiling or pushing a ball. And to go back to when you do have those thoughts, layering this all for you. Go back when you are having these thoughts, and you have the great, brilliant idea, but then you go back to your toiling, and you've got to implement that idea, you have absolutely no assistance, because guess what the majority of the people around you are doing? They're too busy toiling to help you. They can't be helping you. I'm busy.
Busy. Now I can promise you this. I did not spend the first hour on working hard for this commercial. I spend the first hour on working hard to show you that that is not a success trait. Every single person I've ever known said my daddy or mama worked two jobs to just keep food on our table. Then after the next breath goes, I want to work so hard that my child or I don't have to live that way. That means you do not want to model yourself after the hard worker, right? You want to model yourself after the hard worker that has the results at the end of the day. Just like that lady in the DMV wants to model herself after the hot body on the beach. Not just a regular beach either. Not an old South Carolina Myrtle Beach or not an old Virginia beach. These people are on the sandy beaches of the Bahamas or the tides of France or some other incredible blue ocean. I see people every day talk about, yeah, I went to Myrtle Beach. It was awesome. I took a break. What? That's nice. But you don't want to model yourself after a hard worker. You want to model yourself after a hard worker that gets results. That has met the goal. And is no longer a hard worker. My own father has this mindset. You must work hard, work hard, work hard, toil, toil, toil. And eventually when you're 70, you don't have to do anything. What? That doesn't sound fun at all. I'd like to get to doing nothing about now. So anyway, again, I do not want you to think that I did this entire hour for this commercial, but when you decide that you are no longer want to toil, and you're ready to get big, the fastest way to get big is with the help of the people at sandhill.sohooffice.com. I help entrepreneurs at sandhill.sohooffice.com grow and think about their business. So when you're sitting there and this whole hour of mindset now is going to grate at you like it grated at me, you're going to go, I don't want to toil for the rest of eternity with nothing at the back of it. I want to be the hot body on the beach. Wouldn't you like someone to come take pictures of you and send it back to your family and go, look at him, he's on the beach with his hot body, or maybe, you know, in my case, be like, look at him, he's on the beach and you can barely see him. Imagine the sand. I'd have to wave up a flag or something. Anyway, but you send it back to people and they go, ah, that's nice. He's success. My hair would even match the sand. I'd have to open my mouth really wide so they could see like a black hole. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is when you're done toiling, you're ready to put your body on the beach, no matter what shape it's in. The best way to get it done is sandhill.sohooffice.com. And that may or may not be true because you may not want to do the regular toil way. You may have some brilliant, awesome idea. But they at sandhills.sohooffice.com can get in touch with me, and I can figure out if your awesome idea will be working and work and help you get there. I want everyone who wants to be a success and wants to stop working hard to come to me and let's figure it out together. Reach me at Jay Hatfield at NaturalSuccessPrinciples.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter, Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield, and friend me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. And we can become a success together. Now, after my tirade of working hard, and you sit back and you start thinking of things, ladies and gentlemen, you want to have the law of attraction work for you, and there's no one better to do it than UK's incredible mindset specialist, Adele Omani. And that's right, right here in America, she does a magic minute for our show every week. Now that is a good friend of mine, and she knows that we're all doing this so that we can be that body on the beach, in the magazine. Help others, help yourself. When you get that moment alone, think the thoughts that you need to think. Here's Adele.
My name is Adele Omani, and I would like to welcome you to Adele's Magic Minutes. On this part of the show, I would like to be able to bring you answers to questions that are being answered about attracting love, wealth, happiness, success into your life. By what you hold in your thoughts, focus on, give your attention to, you attract into your experience, good or bad. We attract everything from our thoughts. Our thoughts bring everything into our experience. So whatever you are going through at the moment, if you are going through situations that you don't like, you are struggling for work, you are struggling for money, really think, how often do you keep this in your thoughts? How often do you think, I don't have money, I really wish I could find a job? Why is it happening to me? All of these types of thoughts, you are actually attracting more of the same to come to you. It is understanding that everything that we live and work around is based on energy, and our thoughts are also energy. We send out energy vibrations every time we think a thought and every time we have a feeling. Our emotions are incredibly strong energy patterns. So if we are in lack, if we have no money, we have no love in our life, we feel lonely, we tend to send out a stronger vibration when we are in lack. But when you change the way you think, when you start to think of all that you desire in your life as if it is already here, when you start to believe that you have the job that's going to bring you thousands of dollars extra a month, that you have money flowing to you, that you've attracted your perfect partner, when you fully think this and focus on and give your attention to these kinds of thoughts, you are then sending out a completely different message to the universe. The universe does not hear words. The universe hears vibration. So whatever you resonate, whatever you vibrate out energetically, is what the universe is picking up. So when you start to feel that you have money, when you start to feel that you are in that better job, that you have you've become a successful manager or a successful department head or running your own business, when you feel you are loved, when you feel that there are people that are coming to you who love to be in your company, that you have attracted the perfect partner to you, somebody who is there, who cares for you, is there to be with you by your side, that is when the universe will pick up the right message. That is when the universe will turn around and say, I hear you, and I'm going to give you exactly what you are vibrating. I will attract to you exactly the same. And when you do this, that is when things start to change. You must believe that it is possible. It is very, very important that you believe it is possible. And to do that, you need to believe in yourself. So if you want that success and that love, please, please, please get those thoughts changed.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Adele's Magic Minute. And that, she gives an entire week-long class in these Magic Minutes. And you can see the exact way that the toil, when you have no way of putting out the vibration and the thoughts of your goals and success, then you have absolutely no way of reaching those goals and success. So that's why she's here. And you can get her at adeleomani.com. And she's one of my friends, so come friend me. And you'll see her in the Friends of Friends. And come follow me on Twitter, and you can follow her as well. That's Adele Omani out of the UK with her Magic Minute. Fabulous. All right, people. This is Fix the Family, Fix America.
Welcome to the Fix the Family, Fix America Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's right. We class is now in session at Fix the Family, Fix America, right here, the second hour. That first hour went by so fast because there was some dude talking the whole time. Oh, wait. That was me. And it was amazing. And it was that toiling just really isn't going to be the way to go. Now we're going to talk about all kinds of other stuff. We're going to talk about the very first thing we're going to talk about is the science behind being happy. What? Is there a science behind being happy? Then there's a clinic that's saying I can cure lung cancer with cigarette smoke. That's interesting. Then remember we talked about the teenager that was so scared of the sun, then got melanoma, malignant melanoma, even though she never ever got in the sun or visited the tanning booths. Now we're seeing the rebuttal article to that just 1 week later. That's right, 1 week later, the people that did not like me talking about it are now putting out articles to say no. Then we're going to talk about the intelligence factor of daddies and mothers. Yeah, we've got two stupid ones. And then we've got some bunch of miscarriages in a street. On a street is something in the water. Then we're going to talk about a doctor that was refused treatment, winning the battle against cancer. Then what happens if you are tired of the educational system and you homeschool? What does one judge try to get done out of Mississippi? And then we're going to talk about the American diet in one chart. That's right, one chart. And then one meat is a clear invitation to cancer, even though you will have seen the article yesterday that it was so much better than everything else. What? That's right. That's what I said. You're going to see an article that says it's so much better than everything else because of one little thing. All that and more on the second hour of Fix the Family, Fix America. Because to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put this nation in order, we must first put the family in order. And to put the family in order, you must stop your toiling and cultivate and become a success. That's right. If we fix you, we fix the family, we fix America, and we fix the world. That you're reading in the world today, ladies and gentlemen. It was the science behind being happy. And it was kind of a little bit on my buddy Sharma talking about the happiest people work the least. They do the most vacationing. They do the most relaxing, the most meditating, because that's when they come up. Their brain is able to find the solutions to their problems, the solutions to the world's problems, new ideas, new focuses, new places, new everything. Right? Right. But there seems to be another group that's trying to take that a little further. And that is this group that has gotten together. Okay? and has decided to tell you, since you're an idiot, that the way to be happy is for you to just stop worrying about material wealth and don't be an individual and all group together and suddenly you'll be happier. What? Wait a minute, hang on. How's this the science behind being happy? What they're saying, this is Action for Happiness. That's the name of the group, Action for Happiness, founded by an economics professor, ladies and gentlemen. An economics, now that, when you think of happiness, I don't know about you, but the first person, when I look up happy in the dictionary, the face that I look for next to definition of happiness is someone that looks like an economics professor. Okay? Now, this Action for Happiness has 68 countries and organizations joining it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new global movement for happiness. The members include the Dalai Lama. You can't get much happier than this. The British Psychological Society is saying, this is the group to be with. They're the happy group. In other words, the movement set up last year and it was inaugurated on Tuesday. Today, they reject individualism and the pursuit of material wealth, and they provide alternative practical tips for a happier life. Does that sound a whole bunch like a hippie? It kind of is saying what I just said. Don't toil, be happy, right? Aren't we saying the same thing? Aren't we saying the same thing? Okay? They give advice to happiness seekers because for some reason, this world is a little bit PO'd and depressed. I don't know about you. I tweeted about a pancreatic cancer drug that was passed unanimously by an FDA committee today. The first pancreatic cancer drug of its in first pancreatic cancer anything in the last 30 years. Okay? The reason being is pancreatic cancer is on the rise. And since no one's really gave a crap about it, because very few cases of it are done every year, it was just odd to see that this FDA panel unanimously says okay to this new drug. And this new drug is just a chemo drug, again. And it says its risks outweigh the benefits. Well, you know what the benefit that they said was? Instead of you dying in 4 months, you die in 11. But while you do this drug, you're subject to nausea, headaches, stomach pains, vomiting, diarrhea. There was lots of other lists. Anyway, it was just more of the same, exact more of the same, more of the chemo type drugs to try to simply prolong in an otherwise unhappy world. Okay? Tweeted about that. You can follow me on Twitter, of course, /Jack Hatfield. Anyway, back to this Action for Happiness. You can't say that without a smile. Average levels of charitable giving across the world correlate better with happiness than levels of GDP. That's what they're saying. In other words, what he just said, ladies and gentlemen, is that despite the economy, when people are happy, they give more to charities. Action of Happiness is a charity. That is weird. Wait a minute. That can't correlate, right? In other words, I mean, in further support of its arguments, the Action for Happiness, the movement, says that a survey of British people and American people show that they are no more content now than in the 1950s, despite substantial economic progress. In other words, the people of the 50s were just as PO'd as we are today. Well, I don't know about you, but in the 50s, everyone watched three channels of news, and when the news came on and said, oh my God, something bad is happening, that's going to pretty much PO everybody. But now there's 792,000 channels of people telling you everything sucks. That's pretty much going to PO everybody. Is that not true? Yes? No? It, of course it is. Here's what they say. The main external factor affecting a person's happiness is the quality of their relationships at home, at work, and in the community. And the main internal factor is their underlying mental health. In other words, if you're not a crazy person, and you have a good family, and you like where you toil, and the community doesn't look at you like a rapist, then you'll be happy. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Action for Happiness cites that governments... Wait a minute. Whoa, how does this word come into every single thing we talk about? Action for Happiness says that governments are becoming increasingly concerned with assessing national well-being, using data outside traditional economic measures to help mold policy. What? In other words, the government's sitting there going, I don't know why everybody's PO. We got to figure out another way to tell them they should be happy. Britain will soon start asking new questions in its regular household survey to establish how satisfied people are with their lives. France has asked a former World Bank chief economist and a group of international experts to find new ways to measure economic progress, taking into account social well-being. Do you remember back in the Jimmy Carter days, you had the Depression Index, you had the Misery Index? They are now, the governments are trying to figure out a way to make it not so miserable in a different model so that they can say everyone's happy, even though everything kind of sucks. And if you stop worrying about being an individual and you stop worrying about wanting to buy stuff or stop wanting about to strip down to your skivvies on a beach in France and get in People magazine, then maybe, just maybe, you'll be happier. I don't know about you, but every time you see one of those People magazines with the bathing suit person on the beach swimming, they are smiling. But when you pull out the newspaper and on the front page it says, just lost a job and she's mad about it. And you got this lady sitting there going, just PO'd face going, I hate everything. Totally different happiness factor there, I would say. The key to this, ladies and gentlemen, is the articles that are coming around is the science of happiness when this has nothing to do with science. Do you understand who I told you started this? An economist. Then they asked other economists on what is making people so unhappy and how can we measure it differently so we can tell them everyone's kind of happy despite it's so crappy. This Action for Happiness is simply a shill to try to have another place to tell the government so that the media can show you that everyone's happy despite it being crappy. In other words, everything Action for Happiness says is total BS. And if you want to take away your individualism and you want to stop the pursuit of wealth, you can do that on your own. Okay? You don't need the Action for Happiness economics professor to tell you to do so. You don't need the British Psychological Society to agree with him. As we've said multiple times on this show, happiness comes from when all the factors around you are success. And we have 4+1 ways to do it, and that's positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success, the plus one disease and the diet. When you eat right and your health is awesome and you feel great, you're a little happier. But when you have, you're on 16 drugs your doctor puts you on, you have close to diabetes or diabetes in general because it's the largest, fastest growing disease out there, and you got people around you and your family getting cancer, dropping like flies, and you read the sun's killing you, coffee's killing you, eggs are killing you, soybeans everywhere. How are you going to get over that? The science behind being happy by the Action for Happiness economics professors. Wow. When I read that and read why all the news media outlets are telling you about it, is so that you, later on when they start talking about the charity group or the nonprofit group Action for Happiness has now put out a new watch. It'll be the Action for Happiness has now put out a new survey that shows people are kind of happy despite the economy. And they're hoping you'll read that and you go, well, if people are kind of happy despite the economy, maybe I should be happy. Maybe I should join Action for Happiness and send them money. And you know me, speaking of cancer, I've got to talk about cancer. 1 second. Trust me, it's not my favorite topic, but it is something we must talk about because our plus one is disease and the diet. Now, here's the key, okay? In Indonesia, all right? They have now claimed that they have found a cancer cure. That's right. They not only claim that they found a cure for cancer, they found a cure for autism. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what this cure is very, very, very interesting. They have infused cigarettes with a nanotechnology that removes mercury from the body. They believe that by manipulating the mercury in the cigarette and tobacco, smoking can cure all diseases and even reverse the aging process. In Indonesia right now, smoking is openly touted as a cancer cure. At the Gria Bayluru Clinic, Now, I'm just telling, these are things I have to tell you because they're going on in the world. Doctors there claim not only it cures cancer, it cures autism, and they have treated 60,000 people with tobacco smoke over the past decade. They think mercury is the cause of all illnesses, and they, in their cigarettes, they use nanotechnology, and they call them divine cigarettes. They say there are scavengers in their cigarette smoke that extract the mercury from the body. They treat emphysema sufferers by blowing smoke infused with the nanotechnology to remove the cancer-causing free radicals through a tube in their diseased lungs. They blow smoke into their ears and nose and holds a cup of aspirin over a right eye. Don't know why the aspirin's over the right eye, but I'm going to go do that here in a minute. I'm going to hold a cup of aspirin over my right eye. My eyes are itching a little bit, and I'm hoping it will just help. Anyway, she states in a response to her critics that she does not need to subject her theories to clinical tests or publish them, nor does she have the money to fight with Western medical science because she knows what she's cured. Now, in Indonesia, smoking has become incredibly popular. It has risen sixfold over the last 40 years. Indonesia is the only country in Asia that has not ratified the World Health Organization Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, which the World Health Organization has developed in response to the globalization of the tobacco epidemic. The World Health Organization is looking after you, ladies and gentlemen. If the World Health Organization and the governments of every country says tobacco smoke is so bad, why don't they just ban it? If it is the absolute worst in the world, why not just ban it? No more tobacco, it's over. And then you hear stuff like this, technology. Wouldn't it make sense to go look at this? And see if that nanotechnology cannot be infused in all tobacco? You would eliminate your problem immediately? Will that ever happen? Not on a large scale. Not unless there's some money in it, government. Anyway, you're going to hear about that. And you're also going to hear about this. All right? You are going to hear that if you have to choose between rotisserie chicken out of your local grocery store and a hot dog, then you better choose the hot dog. Or a pepperoni. Or a deli sandwich like a Subway. Because they're relatively free of carcinogenic compounds. This is what you're going to hear on mainstream media. Listen carefully. A study examined a number of ready-to-eat meat products for the presence of heterocyclic amines, HCAs. Could it be heterocyclic amines? HCAs can increase your risk of stomach, colon, and breast cancer. Now, who found that out? We don't know. So that statement is an unknown right there. Anyway, here we go. MSNBC is one of the people who put this out just today. And it was pepperoni had the least HCA content, followed by hot dogs, then deli meat. Fully cooked bacon and rotisserie chicken meat contained all five types of HCAs tested. Rotisserie chicken skin had significantly higher HCA levels. So, in terms of killing you with HCA, it's pepperoni, hot dog. Well, the least killing you, pepperoni, hot dog, deli meat, bacon, rotisserie chicken. So they're saying, don't go get that chicken. It'll kill you. Hot dog, get that. That's good stuff. Time magazine has even talked about it. Now, here's the key to this, and I want to get to it real fast. This is one type of carcinogenic compound. The other stuff in hot dogs, pepperoni, deli meats, they weren't even looked at. Okay? Let's go into what HCAs are real quick. I know when we get deep into the science, it gets rough. HCAs are compounds created in meats and other foods that have been cooked at high temperatures. The worst part of any meat is a blackened section, is what you've always heard, which is why you should avoid charring your meat and never eat charred sections. Mister, get away from your grill. That thing's made to char. Right? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that when time began and we didn't have those fancy little glow stoves, that man took their meat and laid it on fire. I'm pretty sure that happened. Pretty daggum sure that happened. Because I'm pretty sure that the first kill and the first meat discovery, and then the discovery of cooking that meat made it taste so much better, it wasn't on a glow stove with a fancy pan. No, it was probably tied to a log and stuck in fire. And that was the way we cooked for 100,000 years, probably. I'm making that up, of course. But we cooked that way for many, many millions of years. How in the world we got around to grilling is now bad means that we have found out that grilling the current meat cycle is bad. Because our meats are not made and grown the same way they used to be. We don't make the meat, but you understand. They're not grown and processed the exact same way. The cows and the chickens are not being fed the same things they would eat on a natural basis. They're being fattened up with corn and soybeans. I told you the story many, many times of what they found out would make a cow fatter than a drug. As fat as a drug without killing them as fast. And that was soybeans. But yet, millions of human beings go every day to their grocery store, grab one of those 188,000 products with soybeans in it, and eat it. Anyway, back to my point. Doesn't look at the fact that those people probably aren't getting the rest of their vitamins and minerals that they would need. Are you grasping that? If someone's eating a lot of bacon, hot dogs, right, and pepperoni, you're probably not getting the vitamins and minerals you would need to get from the other, I don't know, 15 food groups. Now, there's other cancer-causing chemicals created during cooking. What? So cooking my food kills me? Maybe. Let's talk about it. Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs. Many processed meats are smoked as part of the curing process, which causes PAHs to form. PAHs can also form in grilling. When fat drips onto the heat source, causing excess smoke, the smoke surrounds your food, and it transfers the cancer-causing PAHs to the meat. Back to the neo-caveman. He took the leg from the tiger, and he holds it over the fire, and I'm sure he went, careful now, don't let the fat drip down onto the embers, ugh. Because the ember, when it does, there's a tuft of smoke that is produced, ugh. And it may form a PHA around our meat. Oh my God. Here's another one. Advanced glycation end products. Age. When food is cooked to high temperatures, including when it's pasteurized or sterilized, it increases the formations of these ages in your food. Ages build up in your body over time, leading to oxidative stress, inflammation, and increased risk of heart disease, diabetes, and kidney disease. Okay? Now, in the June issue of everyone, if you don't have your copy of the June issue of this and your subscription has run out, go back out today and renew your subscription. This is Meat Science. The June issue of Meat Science, researchers measured the HCA content of a variety of meats, and they found they contained the following amounts of HCA. Pepperoni had 0.05 nanograms per gram. Hot dog and deli meat, 0.5 nanograms to a gram. So pepperoni, really low, 0.05. Fully cooked bacon, 1.1. Rotisserie chicken, 1.9. Rotisserie chicken skin, 16.3 nanograms per gram. Thousands of times worse than pepperoni in HCA. Clearly. Clearly. But here's the other problem they're not talking about. Sodium nitrates that process these meats. Hot dog, deli meats, and bacon. Okay? Nitrates are converted into nitrosamines in your body, which are potent cancer-causing chemicals. What? Research has linked nitrates to higher rates of colorectal, stomach, and pancreatic cancer. That's interesting. What was the one cancer we just spoke about earlier in the hour? Pancreatic cancer. It's on the rise. What is the one thing everybody's doing to be like Jared? Did I just say that? Remember, it's healthy because there's vegetables on a bun. But no, we got to attack the grill. The place where cavemen started cooking their food in a flame, we have to attack. It's when you take the meat and you boil it to death and then you form it into a ball and then you slice that ball thinly and place it on in between two loaves of bread. Pile some veggies on it. Call it healthy snack. Processed meats are not a helpful choice for anyone, ladies and gentlemen, because if I can create a ball of meat, and you've seen my first and only twit pick for those who follow me, I showed you exactly how chicken nuggets begin. It is a very hidden photograph that many people try to suppress, but I showed it to you in Twitter. And it was a beautiful pink goo, looked like cotton candy. But it is what happens when you take an entire featherless chicken, and throw it into a vat, and it gets crumbled up, crushed up, mulched up, and boiled, and put out into a goo. All of it. The entire everything. Liquid chicken. It's pink, by the way, just so you know. Chicken calls itself the white meat, but when you throw in the whole chicken, it comes out pink. Anyway, many, many studies have been done on processed meats. Using money raised from the general public, okay, found that processed meats increase your risk of cancer, especially bowel cancer. And they found no amount of processed meat is safe. They found that processed meats increase your risk of colon cancer 50%, bladder 59%, stomach 38%, and pancreatic cancer 67%. Diabetes 50%. Lowers your lung functions and increases the risk of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Here's the other key to this study. study when they say HCA is where your problem. It's not. People who eat processed meats regularly tend to eat fewer vegetables than others. So now you know. And knowing is half the battle. That's an old G.I. Joe commercial for those who don't remember. G.I. Joe. So, you're going to hear the stories. Go ahead and eat your hot dogs. Now, why would this study come out? Isn't there a big push to ban hot dogs, ladies and gentlemen? Do you not think that the big push to ban hot dogs is going to have a resulting resistance on the other side, specifically from the hot dog people? Don't you think the magazine Meat Science would kind of be formed to help sell meat? I eat bacon like no tomorrow, but I don't eat cured bacon. Love bacon. Fantastic. All right. We had a story last week. We put it out there about the girl who never got in the sun, never got a sunburn, hated tanning beds, always wore clothes, got malignant melanoma, and died 4 months later. Very tragic, horrible story. Our hearts go out to that family. Then we spoke about how the sun is not a problem. Well, because of our reporting, someone had to put out the resistance article, right? Right. Be right back. Speak about it awful lot on this show, and that is when you start getting successful, you will meet a resistance to that success, and you must continue to go on. It may look like you're not supposed to be successful because there's always resistance to every motion. Doesn't matter if it's up or down, there's always resistance. But if you go up, the resistance gets harder and harder and harder. Because you're pushing through an awful lot to be that person on the beach in the bikini in People magazine. I'm not saying everyone in Hollywood is super successful and you should model yourself after them. I make fun. That's what we do here. Anyway, we spoke about a girl, 21 years old, never got in the sun, always wore hats. All of her friends thought she was strange. She never got in tanning bed. Died of malignant melanoma in 4 months. Okay? The resistance article has come out since we reported that. The resistance article is, teenage girl gets cancer after using sunbeds since the age of 12. That's right. The teenage girl has been diagnosed with skin cancer. Let's just talk the facts here. After visiting... This is where the sentence should end. A teenage girl has been diagnosed with skin cancer. But it doesn't. It says, after visiting tanning salons from the age of 12. Well, it's because she visits tanning salons at the age of 12 that she has cancer. Not anything else she could have been doing. Not any genetic issues, right? No, of course not. We're just going to look at the fact that she's been visiting tanning salons from the age of 12. She's now 17 years old, and she was diagnosed with malignant melanoma, same thing we talked about from the 21-year-old girl, the most aggressive form of skin cancer. She told specialists she was visiting tanning booths using her school dinner money to pay for sessions. And yes, in this article, it says it comes less than a week after a student died of skin cancer despite never having used a sunbed in her life. It says that in this article. So, Susan Waterfield, clinical lead at Specialist Skin Service in Middlesbrough, England, said she is one of the youngest we have seen here. She had been using sunbeds from the age of 12. That is extremely young. I don't think it really sunk into her how life-threatening her cancer was. It was her mother who was more upset and shocked. She didn't know her daughter had been using these booths. It was a very serious situation. Thankfully, she had the cancer removed, and she now has the all clear. She said her clinic had 9 referrals for malignant melanoma last year, compared to 5 the previous year. 9 is a high number for us, as we are quite a small service. The second youngest we had was a 21-year-old. All the others were in their 30s. All of them confessed to using sunbeds at a young age. There you go. There's the link. They've all used sunbeds. Not that they all eat the food. The article also explains, in contrast, Jack Hatfield's Fix the Family, Fix America show told everyone how told how Miss Harding's daughter had always tried to avoid sunburn and never used sunbeds, but still caught malignant melanoma. Now, over in England, they are now about to pass regulations saying if you are under 18, you cannot use a tanning bed. Because new research has found that more and more young people are being diagnosed with skin cancer compared to 30 years ago, and sunbeds and not being careful in the sun are being blamed. Mrs. Waterfield says that more needs to be done to raise the awareness of the dangers of skin cancer. Here's what she says. Sunbeds really are a nightmare for us. We encourage young people to use chemicals on their body as a spray tan instead. It is a lot safer. It is great to hear that salons will be fined. Too many young people are using sunbeds and are just not aware of the dangers they are causing to their health. Miss Nanny Smithfield Waterfield, very upset at you people. Wow. Now, here's a growing statement in this article that no one talks about, okay? I want to talk about this statement here. But I also want to show you that last week we had the lady who'd never gotten the sun or used the tanning bed, and now we have the resistance article saying young people are using tanning beds too much, and they're banning them now for 18 and under. Okay? All right? So, arguments on both sides. You see the resistance. I gave you all of the vitamin D information last week. I'm not going to go into that again. I have a lot more to get to, and I'm running out of time. Here's what I want to point out to you before I get to two other, a mom and a dad, ignorance. And this ties in very well. Despite what you're thinking about sunbeds or tanning beds or sun is bad, chemicals are bad, everything's bad, drugs are bad. What I'm no one talks about here is that Susan Waterfield, remember Miss Nanny, said it was her mother who was more upset and shocked. She didn't know her daughter had been using the boots. Why is that statement weird? Because the show is called Fix the Family. And if mommy doesn't notice her daughter is tan perpetually, what is that mommy doing? Grasp this. Mama said, I didn't know my daughter was using tanning beds. Her perpetual tan and glow and natural glow was just normal to me, of course. Even though we're in England. Not the sunniest, most tan-filled land in the world. Now, Englanders, don't get upset. I'm not talking about, I am exactly like you. Remember? The beach picture. What I'm saying is, if you are tan around other people who aren't perpetually tan, you should be noticed, especially by your mother. Right? So this is not a make-a-difference mother here. Let's talk about a make-a-difference mother. Mom of the week. Mother repeatedly poisoned her 7-month-old daughter to get attention. Guess where this was? We just had another mom and dad of the week last week out of Arizona, and this lady is out of Arizona. What is going on? Is it hot? The mother was arrested for repeatedly poisoning her daughter in a warped bid to get doctors to pay more attention to her. Blanca Montano is said to have made her 7-month-old girl so sick she was admitted to the hospital. She then poisoned her 9 more times inside the hospital because of all the attention she was getting from the nurses and doctors. The doctors became suspicious that the child simply would not heal and eventually lapsed into a critical condition. Once they kept mommy away from the 7-month-old daughter, the girl's condition improved. So now doctors and everyone believe she was suffering from Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's an illness found in women seeking attention who feign illnesses in themselves or their children. She didn't feign illness. She created the illness. She poisoned her daughter. And her son. Her daughter and son bought into the hospital once in a sickened state, sent home, and recovered. They are now in protective custody. Custody. I like custard. It's an egg-filled, sugar-filled goo. It's wonderful. She is being held in $50,000 bond as her family says she's innocent. I love this. Do y'all realize every time I tell you mom of the week, including that lady who put her child in the oven and cooked it, and her sister goes, do not judge her as a bad mother. I'm sorry, that's tragic, but when the sister just says something like that, you don't know what happened, don't judge her as a bad mother when she puts your kid in the oven. Her family is saying that she's innocent, okay? Here's the problem. the doctors identified the daughter was suffering with all kinds of problems and wasn't getting any better. So what they did was they set up a hidden camera in the baby's room. And they saw Blanco Montano put blankets around the crib to block others' view of what she was doing. And she even put tissues over a metal box where the camera was installed. They have camera footage of her poisoning her children. And then once they kept her away, the child recovered and is fine. Mark Feldman, a psychiatrist at the University of Alabama. I don't know why they called someone from Alabama, from Arizona. Said Montano's case is a classic case of the illness. He says mothers who suffer from the disease feeling anonymous in their daily lives and unappreciated as mothers, in other words, their family, is wrong. Then they find out after they sicken their children, the shift identities from that of the invisible mother to carer of the sick child whose illness eludes diagnosis. That's right. I'm caring for a child that no one knows what's wrong. I'm the grieving, wonderful mother. You're a sick, twisted individual to poison your own child. What was her name? Blanca Montano is now in custody, and the children are getting better. Not good. How can a mom, first of all, not feel anonymous when the child that you're raising shows you how good you're doing every day? Or how bad? Makes no sense. Oh, goodness. All right, dad of the week. Got to go into this because we've run the gamut here. Here's a Georgia boy. Georgia boy sentenced for tattooing daddy's boy on his 3-year-old son's shoulder. Okay. Now, I don't know if tattooing your child is illegal. I don't really understand if the laws do prohibit such markings. I think they should exist at some point because you have a lot of idiots. Anyway, this Georgia man has been banned from contacting his son anymore because he tattooed the daddy's boy on his back. His name is Eugene. It's either Stoner or Stoner Ashley. That's his nickname, Stoner or Stoner. He's 26, by the way. Pleaded guilty to giving his son Matthew the tattoo on his shoulder blade and was sentenced to 1 year probation and paid the $300 fine. Why doesn't he have to pay the amount to get the tattoo off the child? Because now the child's going to live with a scar here and use it as a... Here, look here. My daddy put this on me when I was 3. He told police, Eugene told police, apparently didn't like the name Eugene. Stoner. Stoner told police he was drunk and did not remember tattooing the letters on the toddler's body. Well, there you go. He didn't remember. Didn't remember. Oh, you can't not find some humor in this craziness. Now, here's the other problem, okay? The tattoo was discovered when social workers visited the home after someone complained about the living conditions. So that means the tattoo really wasn't the problem here. Tattoos that daddy's a creep. All right? Now, Eugene lives there with his wife, Amy, and their four children. Okay? There is a law of tattooing someone under the age of 18. The mother discovered her son had been given a tattoo when the son ran up to her and says, "Mom, I've got a tattoo." Now, in the scheme of things, my child has put on those temporary tattoos. I know I wore them. And you it's kind of cute when your kid comes and, "Look, I got a tattoo." But you know you can wash it off. And Mom even said, "Well, I asked him, does it wash off?" And he said, "No, it's real." Mom then said, "There's no excuse for what I did, for what he did. I mean, common sense, you just don't tattoo a three-year-old." That's what Mom said. Mom also said, "I just wish he hadn't done it." The child is now cared for by the boy's uncle. The boy's uncle knew the mom knew about the tattoo and actually covered it up with those tattoos I was just talking about, the fake tattoos. That's right, Mom. We went from Dad of the Week. We just talked about a mom who poisoned their children. Now we have Dad of the Week who's tattooing his kid, and the living conditions were terrible. And you have Mom covering up the tattoo Daddy put on the thing with the fake tattoos of toddlerdom. Uncle says, "Yes, Eugene took full responsibility for the tattoo, but the wife, Amy, my niece, should be charged as well by trying to hide it." Now, here's a statement that goes into my first hour, and this is the reason we're going to end on this note. Mr. Hawkins, the uncle who now is caring for the child, said, and I quote, "I thought Eugene was a good father before the discovery of the tattoo. He'd work 12 to 16 hours a day, feed the kids, give them the bath, put them to bed, and clean the kitchen up. Toil, toil, toil." Here's another key to this, ladies and gentlemen. He is not the child's biological father. The mother of the child refused to testify when they were trying to prosecute this case. We're going to talk about the Mississippi homeschooler next week. Be here. Thank you for listening to Fix the Family, Fix America. I am your host, Jack Hatfield. Follow me on Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield, Facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. Come back to Fix the Family, Fix America every week to get the news you will not hear anywhere else. Follow me all the time to get the news all week long. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. This is Fix the Family, Fix America.